Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And Grand Rising. We thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we are excited today. We've got an exciting guest, and we're going to be joining with our guest and our co-host in just one moment. So we want you to enjoy the show. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and that will light up your number on our switchboard. And we are certainly looking forward to this discussion as we talk about restoring the balance in religion, empower the female. How would women end wars? Well, we'll talk about that with our guest today, and we'll be talking to Dr. Sophia Kai Horn-Elamine, one of the coordinators of an upcoming symposium on Tuesday, March 22nd on womanism and black feminism. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And again, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Well, we thank you so much for being here with us this exciting Wednesday morning. You know, this March day named as Women's Month. And one of the things that we've had an opportunity to do is to examine, as always, the state of affairs based on the status of women. So we've got an exciting guest with us today. And we're going to talk about this issue because the world is at war because of an imbalance of aggressive male energy. So how do we restore the balance with equal power of women in areas of religion, government, and business, and culture? How would women handle today's conflict if they were at the negotiating table? Well, we'll take a look at that because many women believe that they may be better able to restore the peace. So joining us today is Dr. Safia Kai Horn Elamine, one of the coordinators of an upcoming symposium on Tuesday, March 22nd,
2022 coming up. And it will be on womenism and black feminism. And we'll talk about restoring the divine feminine and the balance needed between Eve and Adam. So let's take a look at what some of the beliefs that we hold and how we can transform them, and perhaps what religious doctrines we're following that need to be elevated to that level of balance in order to eliminate sexism from our culture. So I want to welcome today, this morning, our dear sister, Dr. Safia Kai-Horn-Elamine. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Female Solution.
Thank you for having me. This has been an awesome opportunity, and assalamu alaikum to everyone who is here.
Wa alaikum salam. We are so blessed on Wednesday.
Wa alaikum salam.
And our co-host Kareem Hamid is also connected to the American Muslim 360 blog talk channel. So we're broadcasting on two international channels today, giving you an opportunity to share your wisdom with the world. And so we are so grateful for that. And we thank you for giving us your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
So one of the things I wanted to take a look at, and of course, Brother Kareem is a very balanced brother, which is why we work so well together over these years on the Female Solution radio show. But there are a lot of people in, whether it's politics or religion or even business, that have been conditioned to see women as they're intelligent, lesser emotionally stable, and less capable to handle leadership positions. And the thought is that leadership means you got to have strength to fight somebody. And so that's the energy that we have right now. Who's got the biggest muscle? What are some of the things you think can be put forth in terms of different ideas about how leadership looks in terms of a balance? And what kind of leaders would women be if they were at the heads of government? What's your thought on that?
Thank you. I think that the answer to that question begins a little bit with how we got here.
How did we get here? How did we get this global situation where everybody's agreeing to sit down and shut up?
Oh, yeah. There was an attempt at a social death during the African, prior to the African diaspora, with the enslavement of African people. And I want to go back too far, but I do want to say that that becomes very important because we then have to look at enculturation in a culture where the notion of brute strength was considered different, and it was a very balanced strength. When it was time to fight, it was time to fight for an essential need. It was not about showing the type of strength that was oppressive and that would subjugate other people. It was about a particular need. And so upon arriving on what we now know to be American soil, there was an enculturation that occurred over time, a learned behavior, that I feel safe in saying through some research was not a part of our culture. And I start back that far with the attempt at a social death because as time went on, you began to see some of the changes in society, the changes in the way men begin to treat women, the learned behavior of some. When we think about a situation such as domestic violence, and I'm speaking particularly within the African-American tradition. I know that we go back and we see the movies, The Color Purple and Alice Walker, and some of the things that happened historically within fiction, some of the things that happened historically. Some of that was learned behavior. behavior. Whether we look at African traditional religions, or Islam, or Christianity, or Judaism, what some may call Hebrew Israelites, or that pieces that are happening today, understandings of ways of being that happen today. If you go back to our history, there was always a sense of balance. Eve's daughters, like that concept, Eve's daughters worked side by side with Adam and Adam's sons in order to ensure that the collective identity, collective resources in community were honed and held so that the community stayed together, so that there was this communal forward movement and communal flourishing. What has happened over time with breakdown in community, and I will assert that breakdown in community has begun with breakdown in faith. And when we have a breakdown in faith, then there's also a breakdown in communal identity and structure and discipline. And from that, we have much of what we have now. And it's not just the people who are crying out. Yes, we have global pandemics. Yes, we have a war that is going on right now, an insidious war, where Russia has basically decided to be a bully, which is hence our conversation about womenism and feminism and how we may have handled that. We have this insidious war. We have these pandemics. We have police brutality. We have all of these things going on in the world right now. And the greatest voice that we're not even listening to is the voice that was here before us. The earth is also crying out. The earth is also crying out with the blood of humanity, the travesties that are going on in this world, the climate injustice that is occurring. And so there is a sense in this bullying, this use of brute strength and force, that there is a lack of equilibrium, because the balance is that womanist feminist side. If there is emotion behind it, those are the things that we hear that you've already asserted. If there's emotion behind it, if there is a grace, a type of grace behind our understanding of how we navigate these waters, or what I like to call this theopolitical agenda, then that's too soft. We just got to get in. We got to fight. We got to fight it out. And one of the things I do like about what's being done in relation to the war, and I know that there are people that may disagree with me, I like the strategy piece that we are using. Do I think that eventually more brute strength may be added? Or I know I read in an article the other day that some of the veterans are saying, no, we just can't sit here. We're going to go and do what we can do. We're even retired. We are retired military veterans, and we are coming out of retirement to go in and help. But I still think some of that is the brute strength mentality, and maybe at some point in time we may have to go that far. But I do like the strategizing. And I do think to be able to sit back and look at what's going on, strategize, not necessarily get into the physical fight of it until we absolutely have to, are very womanist, feminist ways of being. Now, that may go against the early bra-burning, fist-pumping, protesting in the streets, that particular movement of women's suffrage in the history and the women's civil rights movement in the history of our community, but I do even think within the women's portion of the civil rights movement, there was a sense of strategy before using brute strength, and that strategy is part of the strength. As a matter of fact, I would feel safe in saying it's the foundation of the strength.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, when I look at not just this war with the Ukraine, but pretty much every war that we are seeing, what we hear is one side of it. But we don't usually hear the other side until maybe years later. And as they say, usually the one who gets to tell their side is usually the one who won the war. So there's always two sides to any conflict, as anyone who's married or had or worked with a partner, any kind of thing, you know there's always both sides seeking something. And so in my view, the first step to ending any conflict is to first hear both sides. We have not heard Russia's side from Russia. We've heard Russia's side from the United States, who has their own reason for having their side. And so I tend to think, especially because we know that the undercurrent of every single war we've ever fought has been somebody seeking to take over somebody's resources. That's always the underlying issue. It's always about power over others to take their stuff. So that being the case, Sana, well, what's really going on? What are you really trying to do? And the other side, well, what are you trying to do? And why is there conflict? I think in order for us to be able to hear both sides, we have to undo some of the propaganda that we've been fed all of our lives. Because, you know, this Cold
right.
War with Russia has been a thing since we've been alive. So we don't
right.
have the one view of Russia. And that is that they're a bully and they might blow up the world and we got to stop them. So we've been living that since World War II. And we've never heard Russia's side. So we really don't know both sides. And there are two sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from I think is when you don't hear both sides and then somebody says, well, I'm going to do this and you won't let me in, so I'm going to just, you know, threaten to kill you, and if you don't back down, then I'm going to kill you. Well, that's been the, I guess, the aggressive way of handling it. I'm going to make you do what I want you to do. So just like in a marriage, I'm going to use this example. If a man wanted to make love to his wife and she wasn't in the mood, what does he do? Bop her upside the head and drag her in the bedroom? No, you know that you have to kindly put her in the mood. You got to, you know, play some nice soft music, you know, run some bath water. You got to talk to her nicely, maybe even, you know, make a good meal or send out for some food if you're not a cook. Do some things to put her in the mood. You can't force that if you're supposed to be in a relationship. And we, all of our nations, we're in a relationship because we're all sharing this earth. So we got to think, how do I gently get what I'm trying to do from this person I'm in a relationship with, this country I'm in a relationship with? How do we gently get what we want? That's got to be the thought, in my opinion. But I don't know, Brother Kareem, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that if women were at the bargaining table, we might handle this differently? And is there another way to address when there's conflict between nations?
You know, I don't believe that it's just in concrete or just de facto that it would be any different. I say that because the female will fight. She'll put her life at stake fighting for her young.
Right.
Now, you want to see a fight, go at birds, small birds in the nest. That sparrow, that female will spread her wings and become very aggressive, fighting for the young by fighting for what she is nurturing to ensure that they have a future. So I'm not thoroughly convinced. But as a matter of fact, the facts bear out that women will, the female will. You want to fight? Attack her children. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just putting that just in a concrete that women are not all of them are nonviolent. Oh no. Mothers are there or something else when it comes to protecting their young. And also, if there were, and there are women in very powerful positions in this government.
Right.
And you let someone truly threaten the lives in this country. They have children, they have grandchildren, they have great-grandchildren, they are mothers, they are wives. They will rise to the task. I guarantee that. But also there is a framework of thinking.
Okay.
And first, it is the idea of let's negotiate with you.
Right.
You know, let's sit down and let's talk before we go to that length of physical aggression. Now, you mentioned that there are two sides to every story. Praise be to Allah, I'm old enough to remember the Soviet Union, which was comprised of most of Eastern Europe. It was a conglomeration of countries under Soviet influence. It was known as the Warsaw Pact.
Right.
The Warsaw Pact. And then Western Europe and also this country formed a union, an organization, and it is named NATO,
mm-hmm.
the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Now, over the years, the Soviet Union imploded. It fell within itself, the weight of their system imploded, and they had to they left those countries that they had a sphere of influence over, and they retreated to what we now call Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since that time, those countries that were under the Warsaw Pact have joined NATO.
Mm-hmm.
The North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And there is an encroachment toward Russia. There are countries that have joined NATO. And Russia feels threatened. They feel threatened because they're right up to Russia's border now. Now, if there was a non-aggression pact, non-aggression. We will not invade you. We will not try to take over your country. They have to feel safe that NATO will not come in and take over Russia. So they feel threatened. Now those that are in power. It's not the citizens of Russia. For this war here, this is Putin's war.
That's right.
He longed for those thrilling days of yesteryear when mm-hmm. they had great power on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's looking back nostalgically, and his emotions are involved. So somewhat carries a basis for his paranoia, his thinking that they're right at the borders. Pretty soon they will overtake us.
Right.
So you see he is annexing countries that are around him. You know, that's and I say him. I'm not putting this on the Russian people.
Right.
So be it right or wrong, that is what is at play here. And I believe it would behoove NATO, behoove them to enter into a non-aggression pact and truly mean that,
mm-hmm.
truly mean that, so that Russia does not feel threatened from invasion
mm-hmm.
and being took over. How that will work out, I'm not sure, but that is what Putin is asking for. He's asking for a firm non-aggression pact, and they have not entered. They have not accepted that. We hear these nice words, but I'm looking from where he is sitting. I've asked them for a non-aggression pact, and so far you have not agreed to that. So right or wrong, that is the psychology of what is taking place in Putin's brain and those with him. I'll stop right there.
I'm glad you have given that overview, because for many people who didn't see the other side, they need to understand that his action was actually a reaction. And we certainly are needing to see another opportunity. And so one of the things we want to do is think of another way that this could be handled other than troops. So we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We'll be joined by Marta Farian, who talked further about what needs to happen when we see the action and then the reaction and the reaction to the action, and how we could handle it in a balanced way. And is this idea of aggression, power over others, something that is a result of the imbalance that we've had? We've got some calls on the line. We're going to come to you next, 779-801. Hang on, 773-8487. Coming to you all after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, or 515-605-9891, and press 1. Of course, that lights your number on our switchboard and lets us know that you have something to say. We're talking about restoring the balance, empowering the female. How would women end these wars? We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Safia Kai Horn El Amin, and the upcoming symposium on feminism. Do we need to restore that divine feminine in order to restore the balance on the earth? Well, we'll be back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment. Stay with us. There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you to motivate you to do. Join us each week, John Alexander and Maima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, community activists whose work on transforming the world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be informed. Watch the media connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Maima Latif. We people are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on the Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnection.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Mondays and Fridays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Health Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing with the Family with Naima Latif and 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Saturday with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul for the Healing with Jana. Call in and comment 515-605-9225. That's one to speak to the host and be part of the solution.
You need to go find something to color. Go
I shall. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture. And we'll take a look at everything from whether or not you use corporal punishment to how to teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid, and our guest today is Dr. Safia Kai Horn El Amin, and she's one of the coordinators of an upcoming symposium Tuesday, March 22nd, on MIPS, of course, in celebration of Women's History Month.
Unmuted.
And this will address the issue of womanism, black feminism, restoring the divine feminism. The divine feminine, and restoring the balance needed between Eve and Adam. So definitely
we need to take a look at restoring this balance, because we have had a long-time imbalance of aggressive male energy on the earth. Now, one thing Brother Kareem pointed out is that women fight as well, and we have a lot of veterans that are that we have a lot of soldiers that are women. We have, matter of fact, one of our one of our senators, Tammy Duckworth, is a war veteran. Got her legs blown off during the war in a helicopter, so in a fighter plane. So she touched the hearts of people, being a woman and being a wounded war veteran. But and we've had women throughout history, warrior queens, Queen Nzinga. So I had the honor of even doing a voiceover for a audio tape for Queen Nzinga. So we know that women have the aggression in them, and as it's been said, you know, anywhere in nature, you mess with the children of a female, and she will fight you to the death. I don't care if she's a deer and you're a lion. You know, we've seen that. But is that the energy we want to continue? Because it is an imbalance, and a lot of times when women get ready to run for positions of power, the thought is she strong enough to, as the earth is transitioning to a higher consciousness, is that the way we want to keep handling our disputes? Because this is not working. There is no winner in war. And there might be more people dead on one side than the other, but there's no winner. Because you've got orphan children, you've got torn up edifices, buildings, cities, historic sites. You've got dead soldiers and a lot of blood to clean up afterwards, and it's horrifying and traumatizing. And we as a human family have to evolve to a higher consciousness. We have to choose to do that. So if we could talk it out, is there a better way to handle it? Mm-hmm. And we've been looking at fighting as a sign of strength, but really nonviolence is a greater strength, I think, because that means you have to swap ego and really look at the other person's point of view and put yourself in their shoes and then empathize with how they feel and then make a decision based on what is fair for all. That's higher consciousness. So can we choose to aim for that? That's my thought.
Sister Naimi, I think that is absolutely a great thought, and it's a great question. Can we choose to aim for that? There is one of my favorite women, a theologian. She talks about the religious mundane. And so when I hear this conversation about women who will fight, that the aggression of women is certainly there. Earlier when Brother Kareem was talking about reaction and emotion, here is Putin and really reacting to his own fear, which is a very, very powerful emotion, reacting to his own fear. And as a result, the Ukrainian people get the brunt end of his particular fear about what's going on with NATO. It is that religious mundane from which we come from. So I'm going to use that in the context of we're looking at what occurs in our everyday life. Unfortunately, right now for Ukraine, it's war. And for here in Western civilization, it is war as well. Maybe not like the Ukraine right now, but it is war within our social construct. And so earlier when we talk about communication, whenever you speak about communication, we talk about strategizing, those strategies that we can use that employ divine feminine energy. This is not a passive energy. And I think that's sometimes what we mean, what we think when we hear a rather soft voice come to the table and say, in some ways, can we just all get along? That's not the energy that we're talking about when we talk about divine feminine energy. We're talking about the balance between strategy and strength. With strategy being strength, how do we communicate? What are the types of negotiations that we make? Is it plausible that NATO may come together and say to Putin, guess what, we're not going to come against you? But I also ask, if he needs that type of reassurance, is it because he knows that really what he wants to do is what he's doing? And maybe if we think about the previous administration, our own Western administration, and how they were working together, to disband NATO, maybe there was the sense of coming together with the entire world, a third world war, an oligarchy, a fascist contingency that would bring all of the world under this one dictatorship type of leadership. And so I go back to the balance between strategy and strength. And what does that strategy look like? What does it look like to communicate? And one of the things I was telling my students about NATO is it is helping to restore balance. And if you look at the makeup of NATO, there are quite a few women leaders.
I was about to ask, you know, what is the, I don't know if you know the ratio, like are we 50%, are we 20%, are we 5%, you know?
I do not know the ratio, and I don't want to make it up. I don't know the ratio, but there are quite a few women leaders that are strongly influencing this type of this coming together, and that are on the front edge of leading their particular, whether prime ministers or queens, are on the front edge of leading their particular countries and saying this is the way we're going to push participate in strategizing so that we can enforce these sanctions that are being placed on Putin at this time. And I was reading an article where they were questioning Nancy Pelosi even on President Biden's response and the sanctions. And she said, no, she really agrees with it. She thinks that this is the way strategy is happening right now is very, very important rather than rushing in the war. Then she turns for the strength part of it and says, but we are not going to allow a third world war. And so there are many women helping to make these decisions, helping to enforce these sanctions. But I also think those are the same women that when and if that time presents itself, they will also respond with the strength needed, if that is physical strength needed, to be able to impact this war further.
Well, I think that it's significant that voices are speaking up and saying we will not allow this to escalate. But sometimes things escalate behind our backs. They will say, well, we'll send troops to help. We won't send them into Ukraine. We'll send them on the periphery. We'll, you know, send them in the surrounding countries. Or, you know, and it happens so subtly. And next thing you know, you're in it, even though it wasn't official, but you were going to get in it. And another country's in it that wasn't in it at all, but they just happened to be on the edges of the fray. So the United States has troops in many places around the world that Americans are not even aware of. And so when
right.
other people react to what the soldiers are doing in their countries, we're like, why are y'all mad at us? You know, why are you bombing? Why are you doing this? Because we're not aware of the decision. And as you said, there are unseen hands that are involved, the gangsters of war. And why is there fear? What has happened in the past? And are there economic interests that are actually behind the scenes that we don't know about? Of course there are.
Oh, most definitely. If you look at the fact that gas prices are raising, and the moment that war was declared, a barrel of oil went up to $100, and the barrels had not been an amount in a lot. So I say theopolitical. Part of that theopolitical, right in the middle of it, is economics.
Of course,
yes, and wars make money. Wars make money.
And then you get people angry saying, "Oh, see, it's because of Russia that the gas prices went up." Wait a minute, is it really? And how much of our gas will we? How much of our oil will we get from Russia? Really, percentage wise? I mean, come on now. So when people don't
2%.
Know things, that they're easily manipulated.
2%.
Yeah.
2%.
And that's enough to make it go up as high as it's going up. No, I don't think so. So we're being played. We're being manipulated, and we're being distracted, and we're being made to feel powerless as if we can't stop this, and we can. I think if the people look at it and say, whatever's happening politically, personally, none of this is benefiting me. I am not going to go and kill someone who has done nothing to me. And that means individuals have to take back their power to choose what they want to happen in their lives. If we let ourselves be manipulated into going to either fight a war or then having to defend someone else's invasion, none of this is reflecting the will of the people. None of it. All of it is about, as you said, other people's economic agenda. Are we as a human family ready to stop being played? Because there's nothing fun about being shot to death or stabbed to death or beheaded or blown up. None of it. So why would we do it?
Right.
So I think in terms of being able to talk about it, because how men have been acculturated to think if it's time to fight, if you back down, you're a coward. I mean, we know what's happening in the street. You know, I look at our sons carrying weapons because, you know, somebody called me a name. You know, he dissed me, so I got to blow him away. When we look at the mentality that we're allowing to be created and spread, which is so destructive, that you can't back down or you can't run from a fight, you can't stop a fight, you got to show your strength. And strength means violence. Is that intelligence? Of course it isn't. So do we need another voice saying, this makes no sense? None of us are benefiting. Whoever's benefiting, it's not the masses of people that are either slaughtering or being slaughtered, so we're not going to do this. We're going to stop. And we're going to talk. Okay, Putin, what's the real deal? Why are you afraid? Who are you afraid is going to do what? And if they're asking, give you an agreement, okay, well then why won't you give them an agreement?
Right.
It's like, again, the marriage analogy. If you ask someone to, in a marriage contract, say, I'm not going to commit adultery. You know, I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to have relations outside our marriage. And they say, well, no, I'm not signing that. Wouldn't your first thought be, wait a minute, how come you won't sign an agreement saying you're not going to do this? Are you planning to do it?
Right.
Wouldn't that be your thought?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Also, signing agreements. The world can look at the treaties that this government made with the indigenous.
What?
They broke every treaty. You know, this is not happening. So we want the guys in the white hats and all of that. No, you look at our relationship with Central and South America, the Monroe Doctrine. You see how even on the continent of Africa, have always been schemes afoot to break up the OAU, the Organization of African Unity. This is a chess game being played. This is a chess game being played. And each sphere of influence is a chess piece. Who will control the resources of the earth? You know, that is right. That is what is being done. So we aren't, you know, we try to mask ourselves as the good guys. But let's truly have a critical history theory. They are moving against critical race theory. Let's tell the truth of our history. Let's have a critical race theory of the actions of this government and this country. You were so right, Naima, when you mentioned that we have troops all over the earth. And we wonder, how come that country is angry at us? What is going on? So behind the scenes of every country, there is a hidden hand. There is a hidden hand. They are called CIA, KGB, Mossad, right, and others, you know?
Yep.
Now, one more thing before I shut down. There's a collective outrage at what is happening in Ukraine, and I am a part of that outrage. But the international world has to be even-handed. You can take the scenes of what's happening in Ukraine and then show the scenes of what is happening in Gaza, in the occupied Palestinian territories. And also, one more thing, and I'm gone. Here we are. The whole world had a big celebration in China, and China has the worst record of human rights on the earth. They have constructed concentration camps for Muslims. They are according to them, deprogramming. It is illegal to name your son or your daughter a Quranic name. They are trying to eradicate that system of government. But and the United Nations knows it. The world knows it.
And have they been up
here? And have that sham of celebration called the Olympics. So we have to get honest. God will not bless us unless we become transparent and admit our faults. I'll stop right there, my sister. Thanks.
Absolutely. So I'm going to see if I can squeeze in a caller. Our call's been holding a while, and I'm sorry. I just got so worked up. But let me go to area code 779-801 before we take a break and get your thoughts. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your words of insight today.
Thank you. This is Maika. Greetings to all and to your special guest also. I'm so glad you had this call today and this topic, because I was greatly disturbed last week Wednesday with the trivial analysis of the war that was given, that was biased. It is very important to understand that war is an aspect of disagreement, and people disagree. Everybody disagrees from time to time. And I also think it's trivialized to say that this is Putin's war. Putin is the president of Russia, and he is representing his country. We can't separate him from his country. He's operating in the interest of his country. And one of the things that has happened, as I've studied and talked to people who study world government and history, is that treaties were made with Russia that the Ukraine would not join NATO. With the joining of NATO comes the putting of missile bases in the Ukraine, which would be a threat to Russia. That treaty was violated and ignored, just like the brother was saying they did with the Native Americans. They have done that with Russia, and that's what Russia is asking for, that treaty be not be ignored, but that it become law, international law. And that's what the problem is. They will not do that. So it's really, you either fight now or you fight later. You're going to fight to maintain your sovereignty now or later when they get the missiles in Ukraine. So we need to be clear about what's going on in the world. We know what the things happen in terms of people breaking treaties. We've experienced it throughout our time here in America. I mean, when you look at the distribution of cannabis licenses and stuff, they're doing the same thing. We can't get any licenses as African-American people. You know, it's injustice. Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And as far as women's leadership is concerned, some time ago in the 1990s, a program was channeled through me called Luna Queen. And this is what it was. It was dedicated to the purpose of creating a world where all females are educated and empowered to risk themselves, prepare and consciously plan conception, and bring forth children who are conceived in love, carried in joy, birthed in peace, breastfed for health, and educated to know, love, and value themselves and develop their unique gifts, skills, and talents for carrying out the purpose for which God created them and they were born on earth. Now, personally, I don't think women, I have met women who can give good leadership at this point, because most of the women I run into are still operating from a slave mentality. They have not taken serious eradicating and uprooting slavery from their consciousness, especially black women that I be in relationship to. First of all, most women, they can't even have a discussion about polygamy. They can't have a discussion about the values of polygamy, the need for polygamy, much less the act of it. I mean, if you can't even talk about something, that's a problem. That's a real problem, because it's something that needs to be talked about. Women carry grudges. They don't work to eradicate grudges. I got so many women with grudges against me for something that I said, not something that I did, but something that I said. It's like I didn't cut off their air. I didn't cut off their water. I didn't cut off none of their food supply, but they got grudges against me. And these same women are women who I've seen allow men to physically violate them, and they go right back to the men. So it's like women don't love each other enough. I had the experience, the unique experience of being in a polygamous relationship and coming to love and respect with my sister wife. And then we, as a result of that, we were able to create a farm institution that fed thousands of people because we agreed to give up our pettiness, our competition, our grudges, and our insecurities. That's what has to happen with women. And until we do that, we will not be taken serious. We live in a world where women, the greatest achievement that women can attest to is the right to kill their babies. Roe versus Wade. What other incident do you have that women have come together and created worldwide in the interest of women? This is what's needed. We need to stop playing with each other about where we are and who the problem is. The problem is not patriarchy. I'm pro-patriarchy. The problem is not patriarchy. The problem is the matriarchy won't step up. That's the problem. Thank you so much. That's my position.
But thank you so much, Naika. We appreciate you, as always, for sharing your perspective. And we're going to take a quick break and come back, get your response, Dr. Sophia Kai. And we're also going to take another call after that. And, of course, Brother Kareem, looking for your thoughts. And anybody on your switchboard, please let us know. We'll open their mics as well. And if you're on our switchboard and have a comment you'd like to make, just press 1. That'll light your number up on our switchboard. And if you're watching us live on the Female Solution Facebook page or the Female Solution YouTube channel, just write in your comments and we will share them with our listening audience. We've got a couple of comments to share. We've got Viata says, Grand Rising and Grand Rising to Queen Sistar. And also Zelda says, Grand Rising. And she says, feminine energy can change the consciousness as we come together with love. Feminine energy, love energy. That is what changes. And Zelda says, change in heart produces change in behavior. Peace is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelda also says, the thought, remember the movie Wag the Dog? See it and you'll overstand. And that movie did, of course, let us know that we are being played. We are being given a story so that we can follow somebody else's agenda. So open our eyes. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this message. And we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. If you're on our switchboard, press 1. We'll come to you and get your thoughts right after this break. So stay with us.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Back, you are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm 9 Strand, joined by co-host and our guest today is Dr. Safiya Kai Horn Elamine, who is one of the coordinators of an upcoming symposium to be held Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. And this is a symposium on womanism and black feminism. And this being Women's History Month, we get a chance to take a look at the impact women have had in history. We've had women inventors, women scientists, women
have been in all areas of education, and we've had some women warriors. Yes, we have. We've had some women who have head government. We right now have a woman who is vice president of the United States, and everybody's thinking about, well, what's going to happen in the next election? Is year-old Joe Biden going to run again, or is he going to have the younger, more vibrant Kamala Harris run for the presidency? And the question will always be, well, how would she serve as commander-in-chief if we had to go to war? Because, you know, everybody thinks war means leadership, but leadership means war. But is there a better way? And would a woman's way be better? Now, something that Maika mentioned that I want to kind of throw out there, because we know that after a major war among the Muslims, with all of the killing of the men and women left widowed, it was prescribed polygamy as a way to bring the families back together, because you had to have a way to have all these orphans taken care of. And so in order to do that, you had to have women be able to cooperate with each other and understand that the objective is to rebuild our broken community after the decimation of families and all these young, vibrant killed. So that's part of the outcome of war. You have a lot of dead people who had families. And it's not in the women's best interest, but this was a means to handle that. And women today still don't get it, that this was why God didn't kill up all people. We did that. We couldn't get along. So the war was a reality of people trying to either oppress people or take from people or control people. So they couldn't come up with a solution. So we ended up with a lot of dead men, a lot of single women, a lot of single mothers, nobody to assist in, again, there was no DCFS, no welfare. So they needed family. And some women were able to work together, and those who were not, you had a lot of conflict. So whether you like that or not, the end result is, well, then choose not to go to war, because then you won't have all these dead men. And spouses with children. So Dr. Satya Kai, what do you think, based on what we've heard is the real deal behind this? If, let's say, the women of the world get together and say, look, okay, either we're going to realize we're going to end up sharing our husbands, because all the young vibrant men are going to be killed, or we figure out how to work this out. So what do you think, if we were all in this case, aggression aside, we're not championing this, get out and kill the enemy, what is the right thing that should be done based on just the rudiments of what we know is the conflict? What should be talked about and done to remove the aggression and the fear and the response so that we can end the war? What are your thoughts on that?
What should be talked about, or what should be done to begin to remove the aggression to end the war?
Yes. I mean, if we had a conversation that could lead to a situation, what would that conversation sound like? What do you think we should say?
Okay. I think, again, one of the things, it has to begin with awareness. Let me just touch on a few things that I heard, and then talk about this notion of social reconstruction or social reconciliation. Maybe that's how I should put it. Let me just talk about the piece. I know we are looking at the woman's response to it as opposed to the notion of Putin's war. I want to say a little bit about why I resonate with that particular thought about this war. If we look at history, if we look at the communist regime and everything that happened, when leaders do not want their community to know what's going on or the realities of what's going on, what is the first thing they do? They cut communication. We've already talked about communication being part of that strategy, but they cut communication. And one of the things that I do know from people or friends of mine from the Ukraine is that there has been a sense of communication being cut to the Ukrainians so that they don't get all of the information of what's going on. And so when you start cutting communication, when you start wanting to keep people from knowing the reality of what is going on in their country, when you go after governmental leadership and when you find out that you can't get to them, you strategize and you return and just start annihilating people, that's the sense that the war is beyond the people. It has very little to do with the people. And so I think that is important because awareness and getting to a point where we are all on the same, we all have the same thought process and not maybe we have different thoughts about it, but we're all looking in the same direction to begin to know what's going on. I think there needs to be awareness at that table. The second thing, and these probably are precursors to even getting to that conversation. The second thing I think there needs to be a sense of healing. The Sister Hakima who spoke just a minute ago, Hakia, I think is how she says her name, talked about women who had not healed.
Yes.
And certainly there are women who have not healed. And I think we can say each and every day that at some point in time we come up against someone who still needs a fair amount of healing in their own personal lives. And I congratulate her on how she's come together with her sister wives and they've had a type of restorative justice amongst themselves and have been able to impact the community and impact the world. But as you said, Sister Naima, even in that particular situation, we know the history of it. We also know that each woman is supposed to be able to have equal resources if they're co-wives. We know what has the delil behind polygyny. We do know that. I think, however, there is a sense of coming to the table with an awareness and with an understanding that everyone at that table may not be where we are. So we're talking about ending war. You may sit at the table with a sister that is not quite there or not quite healed and not quite at your understanding, gain that awareness and begin that communicative process. Because there can be a type of war in communication when there's lack of understanding. So I do think there needs to be communication at the table. I do think that there needs to be an element of understanding at the table. And I think the strength of love, the sisters that put in the chat this notion of love, I think that love is important, but I think the strength of love, what's the show Barney, I love you, you love me, if you look at television, not that love, but there is a strength of love that sticks with that sister that is yet to be healed. And that understands where they are, and I'm not saying that, and doesn't see it as such an affront to us that we can say, okay, I know exactly, I can hear her, I can listen, I can really hear her, not with the understanding that I need to be the one to heal her. God does that, Allah does that. I'm not the one to heal her, but I am the one to sit with her through it until we come to a communal or collective understanding in this process. And I think that is an important thing at the table. We talk about NATO coming to the table. We talk about seeing where Putin is.
And one of the things I do agree with that she said, if it's going to be hard to do it on a global sense if we can't do it individually. And I think it starts, the peace of war and the peace of that conversation starts right now where we are. How do I love you? How do I love for you what I love for myself? And if I love for you what I love for myself, then what does that look like? What's the image of that? What is, I'm going to use this word loosely, what in my prophetic imagination gives me the image of what that looks like? And from coming to that type of collective identity or collective awareness or collective understanding, then we begin to say, what does this conversation need? Okay, we're here now. We're here. We at least have this portion of us on the same page. What does this conversation need? And where do we go from here? You know, as you say in business, what are our next steps? Got our awareness, our collective identity, our collective understanding. What are our next steps? And how do we use that divine feminine? We cannot do it without the man. There must be a balance. And I think part of that imbalance is we continuously try to do it without each other. We continuously try to do it with each other. What is that? And how do we sit there? And how do we come up? What do we say the next steps are in the process of peace?
Absolutely. Because, one of the processes, again, as you said, we first have to have awareness of what is happening. And look at it honestly, and because there are so many hidden agendas, that's always a challenge. But, you know, I always say it, follow the money. Who's profiting from this? And that's who's the guilty party in keeping it going. So anybody who's saying, well, no, we can't back down or we can't stop this, okay, how are you benefiting? Because nobody else is benefiting. None of the people on the front lines are benefiting, not the Russian soldiers. They're not benefiting.
No.
And trained people, they're not benefiting. The people are not benefiting. So who is benefiting from us killing each other? Who is benefiting from this policy behind the scenes or this subtle threat that's happening and economic interest? Because that really is what's happening. Now, I'm not a paranoid person, but, you know, as we begin to discuss this, our Facebook connection went out. That kind of happened in one of our other hosts. Just talking about this, so I'm not paranoid, but some things are coincidence, some things ain't. I'm just saying. But anyway, we still have our audio connection, so for those who were watching, that's what happened. You can, of course, I always say give the number, so you can always join us online, and www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, or if you want to call and listen by phone, 515-605-9325. Our guest has to leave us at the next break, so I want to make sure we get the information about the upcoming symposium. But one of the things that I think would need to be discussed would be, because as Brother Kareem was saying, you have violations of rights all over the planet. And
right,
the ones we hear about and get sucked into are the ones where people have economic interests involved. How come there was not a call to arms when we saw the brutality committed against the Muslims in China? Why didn't we hear that even talked about?
Right.
Well, ain't nobody making money off of that behind the scenes. Or the money is with the people doing the brutalizing. So, you know, and we know that China has spread its economic influence all over the globe. So let's talk about right treatment of all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking about right treatment of all human beings, that means nobody has any business having missiles on anybody's border threatening that, you know, eventually you're going to come in and take your stuff. Because otherwise, why are you weaponizing the surrounding area of someone unless you're planning something in the future?
Right.
So let's lay it on the table. Let nobody take anybody's things. Nobody try to take over anybody's land, resources, oil, crops, none of that. Let's instead empower people to be able to live and thrive on the land that they are now inhabiting, and nobody try to control anybody. Can we do that? Can we create a world in which there is not this unseen world government that nobody really knows about, but that's really the puppet masters behind every conflict because they're making money? Can we expose and remove that so that everybody can live in peace truly and nobody is afraid? Can we do that?
Yeah, there's a movie, and the name of it escapes me when you were saying that. What is the movie? Is Utopia, if that was the name of it. Not the cartoon, but the one with, is that the one with Meryl Streep where they talk about this utopian society? And even in the end of that movie, someone finds out that this is not it, that there is more on the other side of this wall than this kind of utopian society in which we live. And then conflict arises, a possibility of conflict arises again. I think the conversation, the can we do it question is important. I also think the question of social education. So some of the research that I do and that I write, I'm currently writing on, and I have been granted to write on, deals with this kind of notion of religious entities. Now, coming together for the common good. I think one of the things, and I know this is really not the scope of our conversation, and yet it is when we talk about social education, because that's how I would speak about this to my students when we talk about what do we talk about? What are the social injustices that have occurred in history so that we can look at the social justices and injustices of today, misinformation and omitted information that will help us to make decisions about our lives and the flourishing of all people? And then what is our response? How do we restore justice? Not just as we look at restorative justice with those who are incarcerated, coming from incarceration, but how do we look at restorative justice as we as a people come together and work together? One of the things that I wish, under the guise of Tawheed, that religious leaders would sit down and strategically look at that and strategically have this conversation now. I think that's important because now when you look at various places, religious institutions are increasingly female. Religious business, they're increasingly female. So how do we sit down? Again, there must be a balance between Adam, Eve, Adam's sons and daughters, Eve's sons and daughters, Eve's daughters. There must be a balance. How do we sit down? When do we sit down and have that conversation? When do we talk about social justice, social injustice? When we talked about the appropriate actions needed to begin to work towards the concerns of individuals, all individuals, from different social classes and genders and generations and religions. Those are the types of conversations that are needed at that table. What is the capacity and capability? Because my concern is all people and my people. Let me say it like that. So what's the capacity and capability of African American leaders to respond with appropriate actions and needs and the concerns of individuals from different social classes and genders and generations? We have a resurgence. It was never gone. We have a resurgence of racism. I call it neo-racism. We have a resurgence of this whole political agenda. We have a resurgence of sexism and xenophobia and many other isms, ageism, many other isms are going on right now. It's this notion of chaos. And so when do we use the oneness of God? When do we use the unity? When do we begin to look at this as a base theological framework that embraces the multiplicity of people towards the flourishing of our communities? This collective awareness, collective identity, beginning to hone resources and bring these resources together where communities can flourish. And then my last question, because I'm looking at 8:31 and my students will be in the classroom at 9. how do we begin to learn and develop cultural competencies needed? I'm going to go back to my strategizing that bring a type of knowledge, awareness, sensitivity, and appropriate action that has scope and components to establish this way of being communities working together.
That has to be the goal, absolutely, yes. Before you go, please give us information on how people can tune in to the symposium Tuesday, March 22nd, and be a part of that conversation.
It will be a webinar, but it will function through Zoom. What I can do, Sister Naima, is get that information back to you. I need to talk to our webinar directors and make sure that I have all of the passcodes and everything that you need to get in. But it is March 22nd. It is at 4 p.m. And our own Sister Naima is a part of that dialogue. And so we're excited that you agreed, and we're excited to have you on that day.
Thank you so much
for the information. You can get it to your community.
Absolutely. We will definitely keep our listeners and viewers informed. And thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we've got joining us Marta Farian, who is a lawyer with the Ukrainian Committee and president of Nonprofit Educational Foundation, USA, and she's going to give us some more insight about what we can do and what is the best response to end the war. We'll be right back. Thank you so much. We appreciate you for being with us and sharing your wisdom, Dr. Sophia Kaihorn Elamine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Have a great day.
You
too. I'm like it, man. And Brother Kareem, we'll be right back after the break. And let me know if you've got anybody on your switchboard. We've got a couple of callers on our board that we'll bring on after we hear from Marta Farian, lawyer with the Ukrainian Committee. We'll be right back in just a moment. So we can stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after this quick break. So stay with us. Uh-oh.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
What your body needs is found in nature, so Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health.
Are you doing
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
And we are back. You're listening to the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and we've been talking to Dr. Sophia Kaihorn-Elamine, and she's on her way to teach class. And now I'd like to bring to you another powerful sister, Marta Farian, who's a lawyer with the Ukrainian Committee, president of Nonprofit Educational Foundation, USA. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show.
I'm glad to be here. Dear sisters, all my life I've been defending the rights of women and the rights of women to lead as much as the men. I was lucky to have a father and a mother that brought me up and my sister with the idea that we can go for it. My father said, you can be president of the country if you want to. And I really support women all the way, but I'm very happy to have had the opportunity to listen to some of the voices and hear the opinions. And, of course, none of us want war. We want peace, and we want a world based on love, but we need to realize that there are times when sitting down at a table and negotiating is not working. It's just not working. This war that's going on in Ukraine is just a horror story because there are intentional bombings of civilians. Most of the bombing going on right now is on residential areas. It is intentionally done this way. And I'm getting calls from my women friends in Ukraine who are in the trenches actually fighting to defend their homes and their families who are being bombed. And also from bomb shelters where people have been hiding now for days without food and water. I mean, this is a real humanitarian catastrophe. But I want to bring up something that, you know, I'm a believer in education and keeping people in populations ignorant only plays into the hands of the powerful and those who are manipulating populations and gaining by it. So education is really important, and that means knowing about one's history and teaching true history and what happened. Because let's not forget that history is written by the winners to make themselves look good, and the history that's often taught, and you know this very, very well, is filtered to make the winners look good. So we have to make every possible effort to teach what really happened in the past, because otherwise we've got the past that repeats itself now, and that's what's happening. So I just want to make sure that some of the facts that were mentioned is clarified. I heard a gentleman say that NATO and Russia made a deal that Ukraine would never be in NATO. Well, I hate to break the news, but there's no such thing. The way that countries get into NATO is when they're independent, they have their territory, and they have freedom, they have basic rights. They have a right to apply to NATO for membership. But in order to get in there, you need complete unanimous consent of all the members of NATO. So Ukraine applied several times for membership to NATO, but denied. It was put on a waiting list because there were always two or three countries that objected. So there's no such thing as a deal between NATO and Russia. Russia obviously does not want Ukraine to prosper as a democratic and free country, because then its own people are going to say, hey, we want to be free as well. And another topic that was brought up is information and manipulation of information. The key is that the Russian people are not getting information. The Russian people are have been cut off from the world's information, and they get only the official channel of the government. And that's a big problem. But despite the fact that any kind of protest against the government in Russia means that those people are going to be jailed, beaten. We've already seen how the government poisoned leaders of the opposition and how they are coming down on protesters. Those protesters are protesting against the war. They're asking the killing of civilians, and they are being all put in prison and bullied around. So the question of information and manipulation, we've already seen in our own country, in the United States, how information is being manipulated about the voting rights, about what the previous administration was doing or not doing. We are being manipulated with information all the time. So that's very important. But how do you not fall as a victim to that? It's by education. And how do women raise their status? It's by education as well. So I just wanted to say that right now, my brothers and sisters in Ukraine are being slaughtered. And I am really, really afraid that the Russians are going to bomb this beautiful city of Kyiv that's historic. It's 1,500 years old, and I'm afraid that they've been bombing theaters, churches indiscriminately, and I'm really afraid about that. There's got to be something that can be done to stop it. However, people in Russia and Russians that I know are saying it is the whim and the decision of their leader, Putin. I think personally that he has gone mad because he just decided that he's going to bomb and bomb civilians and kill as many as possible until he ends it all. This reminds me of what Hitler did in 1943-44, and the world was watching. I feel bad that we're all just sitting back and looking at people getting killed and bombed like a movie, like entertainment, but these are real human beings that are being killed. So I just wanted to share that, number one, I really share in this sisterhood of women everywhere, including women in Africa, African-American women, women all over the world. I feel that, you know, we need to help each other in love and understanding. And number two, I just wanted to remind people that Ukraine gave up its nuclear power. It was the third largest nuclear country in the world. And in 1995, it gave up its nuclear power, obviously under pressure of the United States and the Western European countries, and it was forced to dismantle the nuclear weapons and send them over to Russia. And there was an understanding that if Ukraine would be attacked, that the United States and Britain is going to defend it. And obviously it's not happening. But let's not forget, Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons, and it did not start this war. So thank you for your patience for listening to me. You know, what can I say? It's a very tough situation. And one more thing. It's true that there's always economic interest. And let's face it, the reality is that all through the ages, politics and wars have been the business of manipulators and those who control economic interests. So I am in full agreement of that, but it's nice to think about utopia, but we need to live in this real world, and we need to demand our rights.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you so much. You have been valuable in giving us a perspective of what's happening. And, you know, it's one thing to say you don't want war. It's another thing to have your house bombed. And so when you're in it, you're in it. And so my heart goes out to you and all of your friends and family who are in that situation. And as you said, we know that there is an economic agenda behind this. And it sounds like I smell a double cross somewhere as well, even with Ukraine being told to give up this nuclear weapons. Oh, you know, yeah, you give them up and then, you know, hey, we got your back, you know, but they don't. So, you know, I can see where there would be upset on all sides. I think if there's a way we can find out who is benefiting from this financially, if we can narrow it down to some products or services or something that the people who are orchestrating this are benefiting from, if there's a can boycott or stop buying or withdraw our economic support of, then we need to do that. So we need to research and really find out what's behind this, because there is a hidden hand. And you also have to realize that NATO is not the United Nations and is not standing for peace. That's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And there is politics as to who gets to have nuclear weapons and who doesn't. And whoever's got the nuclear weapons, well, they get to be the worldwide bully. And we don't need to have anybody having nuclear weapons, because none of us want to be bullied. And that's a problem. So I'm going to see if I can get a couple of comments before we go, some of our callers that are on the line that I know would like to speak a word. We've got 773-737. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts. Can women come up with a strategy to end this war if we just talk to each other? What do you think?
Well, hello, greetings, global transformers and solutionaries. I think that there's a biblical scripture that says there can be no forgiveness of sin without the confession of faults. And in America, we haven't held people accountable for the crimes against humanity and the Jim Crow genocide still going on against kidnapped Africans, and what happened to them didn't happen to everybody. But my question was about the nuclear weapons. When they gave up, when Ukraine gave up their nuclear weapons to Russia, did they do this of their own free will? Was there any kind of vote? And why did they do that? And did Russia comprehend then that Ukraine was going to be part of them? And how did America get in on this? So I'd like some more information on that.
So enlighten us a bit on that.
Well, first of all, Ukraine didn't really want to give up its nuclear weapons because, as we know and can see right now, if you don't have the weapons to defend yourselves, then the ones that have the weapons will attack you. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. But Ukraine was really pressured to give up its nuclear weapons for many valid reasons, obviously. We don't want to have a bunch of countries with nuclear weapons. I mean, it becomes extremely dangerous, and we see the danger right now. But the United States and Russia together forced Ukraine to give up its nuclear weapons. But let's not forget, Ukraine is a huge country. It is actually the largest territory in Europe. It's larger than Germany. It's got 45 million people. It is an independent country. It is an independent country, part of Russia. And
So it is part of Russia. I think that's what you just said.
It is not part of Russia. It is an independent country. It's got it's got its own borders. It's got its own government. It is an independent country. It was under the Soviet Union. And in 1991, the Soviet Union fell apart. But let's not forget that when it was part of the Soviet Union, in 1932-33, 10 million people died of famine under Stalin. In Ukraine, 10 million people died of famine while they were exporting wheat all over the world, okay? And let's not forget the millions of Ukrainians that were sent to the Gulag and to prison and to Siberia. There's not a single Ukrainian family that doesn't have ancestors, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents that did not suffer from the Russian or Soviet persecutions. So people don't understand that Russia and the Soviet Union are not the same thing. The Soviet Union was a prison of nations. They took over a bunch of countries, and Stalin and Lenin organized this entire union of these countries. This was a prison. Don't forget, there was an Iron Curtain. People couldn't get out. You didn't hear any Russian language in the United States until 1991 because people couldn't get out.
That's right. That's right.
I think that's about that.
Yes. Well, it's important for us to hear that, history and to understand what was happening behind that Iron Curtain and why there's still a conflict, because Russia wants to still dominate as they did during the time of the Soviet Union. But as she said, as Marta said, Ukraine is independent now.
But don't forget that, don't forget that Putin repeatedly in the last 15 years, and especially the last 5 years, he repeatedly said that his hero is Stalin, and he wants to rebuild Russia and the Soviet Union. He wants to rebuild it. He said that the biggest catastrophe of the 20th century was the disintegration of the Soviet Union. And, you know, I mean, it's not only Ukraine, Georgia, Kazakhstan, but it's also the countries that were under domination of the Soviet Union, which is Eastern Europe. It's all the Baltic countries. It's Poland. That's why Poland now is freaking out as well, because if Putin takes over Ukraine, he's going to move into Poland, and he's going to move into Estonia, Finland, the Baltic countries, because he wants to control all those corridors into the Black Sea and into the North Sea. And he knows that through the Black Sea, he gets to the Mediterranean. And that's why Turkey is also involved in all of this. This is a huge, huge political and economic chess game, which I'm afraid to say has been repeated through the hundreds of years, because whoever controls those corridors for trade and economic interests, they control all those countries. That's why Turkey also plays such an important role in all of this, because the passage from the Mediterranean and to the Mediterranean from the eastern countries.
Well, we are all connected all over this world. And one thing about nuclear war, it's not winnable, because the air that you poison with nuclear weapons today will be the very air you breathe tomorrow. We learned that from this last battle with the pandemic. We're all connected. And so we can't afford for anybody to be at war with anybody. Well, thank you so much, Marta. We appreciate you coming. For people who want to help in any way, how do they contact the organization? How do they, if they want to show support, what's the best thing for people in America to do to be helpful?
Well, there are many, many now organizations that are collecting for human aid, humanitarian aid. There is in Chicago, there is UCCAIllinois.org, and there is, you can also, UCCAIllinois altogether .org. There's also
All right. Well, we thank you so much. Well, we're out of time now, but definitely want to say thank you to my wonderful co-host, Kareem Hamid.
Thank you.
Dr. Safia Kai, Torrance Bellamy. And thank you definitely to Marta Farian, lawyer, Ukrainian Committee, and president of Nonprofit Educational Foundation USA. We thank you so much for giving us that insight. And we
Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.